Our theme for 2020 is, see, I'm doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Let's say amen to that. And this new thing, you know, there is unnoticed, you know, and unseen, that is in the ground, it is springing forth. When does it spring forth? The Bible said that it spring forth now. This new thing is springing forth with new change. New things always bring new change. This new thing is springing forth with what? New life. Don't you want some new life? You know, and this new thing is also springing forth with new opportunity. How many of you want God to do a new thing? Come on, put up your hand. And sometimes we look at the new thing to happen outside or the new thing to happen to other people. When God does a new thing, it must happen with who? It must happen with who? With you. Because he said in his word that you are a new creation. The riches of Christ is where? Not up there, not out there, is in here. You are rich, say amen. You are rich. You are rich with a heavenly account. I hope you know your P number. You know how to draw from it. And the hope of glory of what God wants to do in this world is where? It's not out there, it's in here. Because we, as God's people, we live from where? Inside out. Whatever God is working and doing is in here. The Bible tells us the excellency of his power. That we are this earthen vessel. This earthen vessel, all it needs is a little bit of crack. A little bit of crack. A little bit of brokenness. And the glory that is hidden within will begin to what? Break through and shine through that brokenness. Something that we cannot understand. God used broken vessel. Could you imagine that? Out there, the world will reject a broken vessel. But God said, a broken vessel, I will not despise. You know, and when we allow the hope of glory and the greatness and the riches of Christ in us to begin to work in us and shining forth, and you will see that the new things that God is doing in us, in you, will follow to where? Into your marriage. Well, you're not going to find a new spouse. But God can do something new in your marriage. How do you like that? You know, some of us who are married for 50 years, you need to find new love. Say amen. In your marriage, new energy, you know, in your marriage. And then it will flow into your workplace. Many times we say that people go to work and wonder, am I just working in order to survive? But this new thing that God is doing will give you a new purpose, a new dimension when you go to work. And then you will flow to where? You will flow to the church. Because the church, after all, is who? Is you. You make the church. You know, and we must be open to the new things that God is doing. And it's not business as usual. Neither is the same old, or we maintain the status quo. But rather, we must believe that God is doing a new thing. So what do we do? What do we do? Start finding new things in the old things. Surprise you, right or wrong? Start finding new things in the old things. A quotation by Don Brown. He said that sometimes all it takes is a tiny shift. A tiny shift of perspective to see something familiar in the total new light. Do you think so? Just a tiny shift. Just a tiny shift. Just a tiny looking at things. A tiny shift of anger. A tiny shift of viewing something. You may find that what that has been so familiar to you, you can see in a new understanding, in a new light. So find new things in the old things. Just like I'm married for 40 years. If I want to make this marriage work, I must look at my wife and find new things in, I cannot say in my old wife. I will get into trouble, in what we have been together. Can you understand that? So, what tiny shift, what tiny focus, what tiny adjustment must you take to find something new in what you have been doing? Sometimes it's just looking at it differently. Sometimes it's just working what you have been doing differently. You know, and it's so important for us to recognize that today you can find new purpose, new passion, new perspective in what you are doing presently. Because when God does a new thing, He will give you new ideas. New ideas. He will give you new creativeness, innovation, and new passion, and new zeal. Not on something in the sky, but it's always on the promise that He makes to you. When He told Israel that I'm going to do a new thing in Isaiah chapter 49, it was based on the promise that He has said, and He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was based on the promise that He had given to their forefathers. The promise that God said, and He told Israel, where you are, I'm going to do a new thing because of what I have promised you. So sometimes we need to recognize when God does a new thing, it's always based on what He has promised us. You know, and on who God is and what God can do. What God can do in you, and He'll do also with you. Sometimes we say, God, you want to do a new thing, I'm here, just do it. But if God is going to bring any new change, He needs your what? He needs your cooperation. You know, and then you will see the good things that God is able to do. Because we know we serve a God who say, I am that I am. That I'm able to perform my promises. Nothing stops Him. Nothing is too hard for Him. And He's able to bring His promises to pass. The question is this. Do you perceive it? Do you know it? Do you take heed to it? I always love Specsaver advertisement. How many of you like Specsaver advertisement? Should have gone to Specsaver. One of the advertisements I really like was about this old man. He was going to go to the sauna. And so he found a very smoky place. And he thought, oh, that must be the sauna. So he went in and he sat there. You know, and after, when all the smoke is gone, where was he? He was in the kitchen, sitting. And who was holding a knife? The chef by the name of Gordon Ramsay. And you know there is an advertisement because he never swear. Because this Gordon, every time when he opened his mouth, he swear. This one he never swear. He just look at him with a knife. So you know it's an advertisement. So I tell you, we need to put on a new glass. We need to put on new glasses. New glasses of love, new glasses of commitment, new glasses of passion. And when you wear these new glasses, you will see the opportunity that is given to you. Tomorrow when you go to work, put on a new pair of glasses. And see, God, what is the new opportunity that you can give me that I can shine for you? Put on a new pair of glasses. So, we come now to this 5 weeks. We're going to talk about the grace value. This is something that we value. I hope you got value in your life. Values are important. Values say this is what I believe. And therefore, if I believe, this is what I want to practice in my life. You see, and sometimes people may say, this is what I believe. They don't practice it. So for us, as a church, this is what we value. And we want you to practice it. And I know the pastors are practicing it. I know the leaders are practicing it. We need every members in Grace City Church to practice these five values. These five values are not abstract. They are found in the Bible. The value of what? Generosity, relational, active, Christ-like, and excellent. So these 5 weeks, when we do this grace value, we are going to look at the life of David. I mean, David is one person. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. David is one person that the young and old aspire to follow. He's such a great example. So when we're going to look at David's life on these five grace value, and we're going to start with the first one, which is generosity. Generosity. And we want to find how from David's life we can, you know, find new ways to be generous, new level of generosity, and new creativeness and innovation to generosity. So we start with David's life from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 to verse 20. Turn to that passage, and we will pick up some certain verses that is in this chapter. Now, this is an interesting chapter, because in this chapter, David was preparing the material for his son, Jonathan, to build the house of God. We know that David was very rich at the time. In verse 1, he assembled the people, and then he said that my son is going to build. I can't build, my son will build. And then he said, I'm going to prepare the necessary resources for my son. And I'm going to take some from the national, from the country reserve. Not only that, I'm going to do and give some of my own gold and silver, I'm going to give it. And as he did that, the Bible tells us that the leaders saw what David did, and they respond in the same way, because David was generous, therefore now they become generous. And the people, when they saw the king was so generous, and then they saw that the leader was so generous, and now the people also became generous. What a way to live. Generosity. And they, not only were they generous in giving, they begin to rejoice. Rejoice in verse 9 tells us, the people rejoice for they have offered willingly because with a loyal heart, that they offer willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor comes from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willing as this? For all things comes from you, and of you owns all, and of you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are one, as a shadow and without hope. Verse 16, O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now with joy I sing your people who was present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, our father, keep this forever in the intents of the thoughts of the hearts of your people and fix their hearts towards you, and give my son Solomon royal heart to keep your commandment and your testimony and your status, to do all these things and to build to the temple which I have made provision. David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their father and bowed their head and prostrate themselves before the Lord and the King. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your words, Father. We ask that this morning, speak to each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last chapter of David's life. You know, and David, we know, he has lived his life as a sweet psalmist. He wrote and he sang many psalms. And all those that he wrote and he sang, he did it not superficially, he did it from the very depth of his soul. From the very depth of his soul. Psalm is a book where the heart speaks. And, you know, David has a great soul. But he is also a generous soul. His generosity is seen throughout his life. You remember two occasions, he had opportunity to kill King Saul. Many would have done it. But he chose not to. He chose not to kill King Saul. He chose to show generosity. Because generosity is not only about money. I know sometimes, some people you really need to squeeze to get anything out of them. What's the difference between a sponge? To get anything out of a sponge, you must put it in water and what? Squeeze it. Generosity is more than money. Generosity, you know, is how you respond to others who wrong you, who does things not right, you know. And then you find one time when his son Absalom, you know, overthrow him, and poor David has to leave the parents. I mean, on his way out, he met a man by the name of Shimei. And Shimei looked at him, laughed at him, you know, accused him and cursed him and said this word, "You, David, you got it. You got it because this is payback time for what you did to Saul," which is not true. Because you did to Saul and his family, this is payback time. You see, you are receiving, you are reaping what you have sown. And so, poor David have to keep quiet, hold his peace. And of course, later on when he returned back to the palace, the same man that cursed him came to him and said, "I'm sorry." Have you ever got people who say things that are not right and then they come to you and one day say, "I'm sorry"? I mean, this is a time when David could say, "Yeah, sorry, let me show you the knife, then you see how sorry you are." No, he chose to be generous. He chose to give him a second chance. So throughout David's life, time and time, he has displayed generosity. And then, now in this chapter, again he showed the generosity of his heart. You know, David, by this time, his wealth was beyond measure. He was wealthy. He has only one desire, and it was his dying desire that he would build God's house. But he could not, but his son could. And so, he did not want to leave the responsibility to his son Solomon without resourcing him. That is generosity. Some people, "Well, if I can't get it, if I can't do it, why think about who's going to do it? Why bother about it?" But not him. He said, "Lord, I can't. This person is going to do it. I'm going to resource that person." Because David was not a talker. He was a doer. He was not a person that stand by the side and cheer other people. You know, some people will cheer you. "Hey, go ahead, man, go ahead." But they all want to do is just use their mouth to cheer you. But he was a doer, and he was a giver, and he was able to show generosity in giving, not just from the national treasure, but from his own treasure. Because to him, there is great joy for being generous. The generosity of giving gave him joy, and that's what he did. And you know, if we were to estimate what David gave for God's house, if we estimate in today's value, it will be worth about 200 billion. That's a lot, don't you think so? 200 billion, if you were to estimate. And then David gave with an open heart, with an open hand, you know, because David remembered one thing. One time he said in his life, it's so important for us to know this word that David said, this phrase. He said in Samuel 24, verse 24, "For I will not present burnt offering to the Lord my God that costs me nothing." He said, I will never give God anything that doesn't cost me. I will not give God my leftover. I will not give God what I do not want. I want to give God something that causes me, something that say, wow, it brings a thing of, this is painful. Have you ever done that before? Doing something, wow, you really cost me. So David had this thought that he had said once before, and he lived with that thought of generosity. You see, David's generosity was so great that the leaders were also moved with generosity, and the people were also moved with generosity. And you find that throughout this giving, it was not just the giving of possession, but above all, it starts with the giving of what? Of their life. Paul said in Corinthians, the giving to God starts first with giving of what? Of your life. You know, and so when all these things happen, the Bible says they give freely, no pressure. I don't like to go to a meeting when they take up an offering, they make a sermon out of it, you know, and they pressure you. I have gone to a meeting before when the guy who take up the offering say, you know what, God talked to me today that 10 of you is going to give $1,000. Wow. Then one person stand up. Oh, everybody clap. Then another person stand, everybody get, because everybody wants to tell everybody that God has spoken to me. There was no pressure in giving. They give freely, they give willing. No hard selling. Now, Grace City Church has always been there. We never pressure people, we don't sell hard. But we need to talk about generosity. We need to talk about what belongs to God. Because sometimes when we don't talk about it, people may forget about it. And so, there was willing and freely, and then there was wholeheartedly, means no limitation. What a way to give. So when David gave, the leader gave, the people give, it shows one thing. Generosity begets what? Generosity. That's how it is. Generosity beget generosity. If you are stingy, you will beget what? Stinginess. It has an effect because generosity is contagious. It's contagious. So if you are stingy, so if you are petty, so be what? Be generous. Now the dictionary for the word generosity means ready to give freely. Free from smallness, or pettiness of my heart and character. So generosity deals with what? The mind. And when it deals with the mind, it also deals with the what? The heart. And the mind and the heart make your character. So generosity has to do with a person whose mind and heart is open to the generosity of God. So these 5 weeks, you know, when we talk about the grace value, we want to talk about why, the why. Why be generous? We need to know about the why, because sometimes it is possible for us to do the same old thing without knowing why. You know the story about the mother that was putting, you know, the fish into the oven. And the mother cut part of the fish to put in the oven. Because the grandmother also cut part of the fish to put in the oven. And so the daughter also did that. And so one day they asked themselves, why do we cut the, the end part, you know, of the fish to put into the oven. Then they discovered that during their grandmother time, the oven was smaller. So you cannot put the whole fish, you have to cut it. But today, the oven is 900. 900? Amen? You don't have to cut it. But because we have done that all the time, you need to know the why. Why be generous? You may do it without knowing the why. And when you know the why, it gives you a real purpose of generosity. So why be generous when we look in the life of David? Firstly, generosity reflects the heart of God. Now, when you think about God, what is the image that comes into your mind? It is said that if I have a father who neglects me, then more likely I think God would neglect me. Because somehow, when we think about God, it got to do a lot with our relationship with our own father. And I pray, if you came from a relationship with your own father, has not been a real encouraging one, may I pray that you find healing from it, so that your idea of the father will not be the same idea of your earthly father. Amen? And so, you know, when you think of God, do you think he's tight? You know, he's tight-fisted and a little bit mean? Or do you think that God is extraordinary generous? I hope you think that God is extraordinary generous. Now, a little exercise. Take a deep breath. How much did it cost you? Nothing. Every breath you have is nothing. I know some people, their lung capacity is bigger than others, so they breathe more. You know? And you think about that. In one day, you have breathed at least 28,000 times. 28,000 times, at least one day. How much do you have to pay for it? Nothing. Free. Free. And that is the generosity of God, because God is generous. Say amen. His nature is generous. And he is so generous that he provides for his children. He gives us unfailing provision, protection, and presence. Constantly, he cares for us, and we have unlimited resources for his children. God is generous. Say amen. And the generosity of God is seen in Jesus Christ. This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What an example. That is God's generosity. That Jesus became poor, that you may be rich. What an example. That he emptied himself, he gave himself, he poured himself, and he did it fully, so that you who are empty can be filled. You who has lack can be full. You who has need can have all your need met. That is the generosity of God demonstrated on the cross. God is incredible generous. Say amen. Generous to you. The devil nature is what? To steal, to kill, to destroy. The devil is not only a thief, but a destroyer. But God's nature is generosity. You know, and this is what James said. He generously give to all. He give generously to all. One of the psalmists, David say in Psalm 23 verse 5, my cup what? My cup overflow. Not my cup is empty. Not my cup is half full. My cup overflow. Overrun. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, God lavishes grace upon us freely. Generously he pours his grace upon us. Not a little bit here, or there, but abundantly, like heavy rain, he poured upon us. Our God is a generous God. Say amen. You know, the Bible talk about him in Matthew chapter 20, about him being the generous landlord. He went and he saw someone standing there doing nothing. He said, go and work in my vineyard. Then he came out later. He saw others. He said, go and work in my vineyard. And then he came out 1 hour before the day closed to those who came 1 hour. He said, go and work in my vineyard. And then when the time comes to pay them, he called all of them together. And what he did, he paid them all the same. Don't you, are you not glad that you may be the 1 hour before closing time? He paid all of them the same. And then, of course, those who worked longer was not happy. And this is what he said in the Bible. This is what he said. He said, don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envy because I am generous? Are you going to get stingy because I am generous? Wow. That's God. His generosity. And so when David saw the generosity of God, this is what he said. Who am I? Who am I? I'm just a shepherd boy who God has made me to be a giant killer and a king. You know, God said, David said to himself, I did not make myself. God has generously made me, generously empowered me, generously given me all things and everything. God was so generous to David. And so the only way David could do in his life is to reflect what? The generosity of God. Generosity reflect the heart of God. Remember in 2 Samuel chapter 9, when David ascended to the throne. Now he's a king. Now what do you do when you become king? The first thing you do, you get rid of any present threat or future threat. But David said in verse 3, who can I show kindness to? Who can I show kindness to? Because of God. So what is David saying? David is saying this. God is kind to me. I want to show kindness to others. God is generous to me. I want to be generous to others. God is good to me. I want to be good to others. Because David is saying, what I have experienced from God, I want to reflect the heart of God to others. And who did David find? David find Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And when Mephibosheth came and stand before David, this is what he said. I am a dead dog. I'm a dead dog. He looked at David and said, why you call me? I'm a dead dog. I'm dead. I'm a dog. I mean, for a Hebrew to call yourself a dog is terrible. Don't you think so? And yet, David, out of the generosity of his heart, reflecting God's generosity, lift him up to sit at his table as one of his sons. Generosity is to do to those who can't. Say amen to that. Generosity is to give to those who are undeserving and to do to those who cannot pay you back. That is called generosity. Go. As God's children, we reflect the Father's character, generosity. The Father is generous to you, so be generous to others. Generous in giving, generous in hospitality, generous in forgiveness, generous in loving action, mercy, goodness, and grace towards others. The next time when you give, next time when someone says something unkind about you, when you are about to judge others, when you want to withhold any good thing, the next time, choose to be what? To be generous. To be generous, having a generous spirit like David. So ask God. Generosity reflects the heart of God. Ask God. God, show me new ways. New ways to be generous so that I can take every opportunity and every moment to reflect the heart of God. Is it not wonderful? I wonder what would this today be after service when you go out there and you tell somebody, brother, how about I get a coffee for you? Come on. It's a little thing. But I'm telling you, generosity, don't look for big thing. Start with the little thing. Because as you begin to do the little thing, generosity, the second point is this. Generosity is what? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. David is not best remembered for his net worth. He's rich. People don't remember him because how much money he has, how much money he gave. He was remembered as a man after God's own heart. I mean, I think about David. In the height of his prosperity, in the height of his power and success, he did not become selfish, self-centered, or self-serving, or corrupt. They say that power corrupts, riches corrupt. Anything that is excessive can corrupt you. But David never. Why? Why he never? It was because of his heart. Generosity is a heart issue. Generosity reveals the attitude and the condition of the heart. See in verse 2 and verse 3, the heart and the condition of David. He said this, I have prepared with all my might. I have set my affection on the house of my God. I have given to the house of my God. I prepare for the holy house. Look at this. Generosity is a heart issue. And so everything that David says is not about who? It's not about him. It's about who? It's about God. Now, our culture today in our world is so different. Our culture today is about who? It's about me. I'm the highlight. Life rotates around me. It's all about me. But for David, his heart is this. It's about God and his name and his honor and his glory. May I encourage you? May I encourage you? If you truly believe that Jesus is Lord, make sure you put him first in your life. Not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of your life, every part of your life. Because there are a criticism from outside that saying that Christians today are only Christian in the church. It is a heart issue. A heart issue. Why? Because David knew God sees the heart, examine the heart and test the heart, and nothing is hidden from God. He said in verse 17, I know, my God, that you will examine our heart and rejoice when you find integrity. You know, I have done all these things with a good motive. One thing I have learned in life, nobody knows your motive, nobody knows your intent. Some people say, I know what you are. Only God knows a person intends and motive. And so David said, because generosity is a heart issue, God, you see the heart. You know everything about the heart. Men look at the outside, but God sees what? God sees what's inside here. Prophet Samuel learned it the hard way when he went to anoint the next king. This is what David said, that he knew that God sees nothing but the heart. He said in Psalm 139, verse 1 to verse 4, this is how he said, God, investigate my heart. Get all the facts firsthand. I am an open book to you. What a way to live. God, I'm an open book. Even for a distance, you know what I am thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything. I'm going to say before I start my first sentence. God knows everything. Generosity is a heart issue. That's what David had discovered. You know, the Bible talks about two persons came to the offering box and give. The poor widow and the rich man. Outwardly, the rich man was given a lot, but it is only a tiny of his surplus. But inwardly, the poor widow give what she could not afford. She gave her all. Generosity is about a heart issue. Therefore, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else. From out of it spring the issue of life. When you are hurt, when you are disappointed, when you are bitter and angry, it is hard for you to be generous. How many of you realize that? Whether you are generous or stingy, you always listen to what? Listen to your heart. How many of you realize that? You listen to your heart. And both have different heartbeat, and it comes with different outcome. Medically, it has been proven. Generosity improves health. It lowers blood pressure, reduces anxiety and stress, improves connection and relationship. It makes you a happier person. If you don't want to have a tight heart, some people, oh, so tight, then I encourage you, be generous in forgiving. Be generous in releasing your debtors, especially those that offended you. Generosity is not just about money. It's also about how you deal and relate to others. One writer put it this way. In the end, the offering was more than material one. For its substance already belongs to God. The real offering of David and the leaders and the people, the real offering was spiritual. The matters of the heart. Generosity is a heart issue. How is your heart? Generous or stingy, generous or petty, generous or smallness. Guard your heart, because generosity, happiness, and health flows from where? From your heart. Generosity reflects the heart of God. Generosity is a heart issue. And lastly, generosity is stewardship. In this great rejoicing, the people rejoiced, and there was such a great rejoicing, great voices. David, the mightiest and the richest man on earth, stood up and prayed, wealth and honor comes from you alone. Did not God say to Israel, it is I who give you the power to what? To obtain wealth. It comes from him. Did not he say, promotion comes not from east or west, it comes from who? From God. Opportunity, everything comes from God. And so David prayed, wealth and honor comes from you alone, for you rule everything. The earth is the Lord. And everything that is on this earth belongs to who? Belongs to God. Power and might are in your hand. And at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. So if you are great, you are successful, you are blessed, you are rich, don't be proud. It's God that given you everything. Wonder he say in Timothy, let the rich do not forget and be consumed with the riches. Let them not forget the needy and the poor. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. For who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? It's true, don't you think so? The hardest is to buy a birthday present for a rich person. What to buy for the person? So they are saying, God, okay, what can we give to you? Everything is yours. Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first give us. So David said the people were generous because they understood one thing, that everything they are, and everything they have comes from God. It was only right for them to give back to God. After all, it was Him who had given them the first, in the first place. So, I get from God, I give back to God. It's called what? It's called stewardship. Stewardship. Everything is a gift. Nothing is earned. Everything is given. Your life is given. Your health is given. Your career is given. Your intelligence is given. Your strength is given. Your children are a gift. Some of them may say, oh God. Your possession are a gift. Your wealth is a gift. You own nothing. Everything you have is on loan from God. That's why He said one day you have to give an account. You have to give an account. It's on loan from God. And He said to you, I put in your hand for a little while. Take care of it for me. That's what you are. Everything in your hand, God said, I give. Put in your hand, take care of it. It doesn't belong to you. Take care of it for me. As what? As a steward and not an owner. So, if everything I have comes from God, it shows one thing, man, that I cannot hold anything that's in my hand too tightly, thinking that it belongs to me. Sooner or later, you know, you have to understand it does not belong to you. It never was, never did, and never will be. They belong to who? To God. See them just like little children that have some borrowed marbles in the hand. And little children with marbles in the hand playing with the marbles, after a while they think the marbles is what? Is theirs. And sometimes we think everything we have is ours. But God will start to open finger by finger so that He will take it away and say, it's never yours. It is mine. And I entrusted it to you. It belongs to me in the first place. That's why David finds it so easy to release it to God, because he knew it. That it was not for his to keep. The idea that everything belongs to God is not just a matter of faith. The idea that everything belongs to God must be incorporated into our life. Especially when the world view out there is so chaotic and so upsy-dolly, so upside down. But we need to have this incorporated in our worldview. Everything I have comes from God, belongs to God. I'm just a steward, not an owner. And God has placed it in my hand. So my question to you, do I spend it or waste it? God entrusted it in my hand and He said to me, it's not yours, it's mine. Invest it wisely. Invest it wisely. But it's possible we can become a hoarder. Have you ever gone to a house of a hoarder? Oh, goodness me. I went to one house. You can't move. There are so many things. A hoarder is someone who keeps everything he has and cannot let go of anything. Who in the Bible is an hoarder? You remember the parable of the rich man, the unnamed rich man, and Lazarus? The rich man was a hoarder. He kept everything for himself and to himself. He enjoyed them, he used them, he grew them. But he never as a steward, but as an owner. It is mine, all mine, for me. And he forgot to practice generosity to poor Lazarus at his gate. David said in verse 15 that you and I need to keep it in our heart. To all hoarders, this is what he said in verse 15. We are here for only a moment. Visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before me. Before me was my father. Before me was my grandfather. They all come and they go. So will that happen to me? Our days on earth are like a passing shadow. Life is like a vapor. Gone as soon without a trace. Rich or poor, famous or unknown, have or don't have, we can't take anything with us. We come empty-handed, we are going to leave. Even with all our accumulation, we're going to leave empty-handed. Naked we come, naked we go. You know the story about a rich man that tells the accountant, when I die, draw all my money and pack them in the coffin so that all my money will be buried with me. So he did die. And the good accountant did draw all his money, millions, stacking in the coffin. No, he was smarter, the good accountant. He saw all the money in the bag and he looked at his dead client and he decided he would keep the money and just write a check for all the money and put in the coffin. Because you can't take anything with you. So what is God trying to say? God is saying this, when you are generous on earth, what you are doing is that you are sowing and preparing for your next life, for the next destination that you're going to be. Don't go there empty. Go there knowing that you have sent building material up to heaven. Like the rich woman and the poor and the driver. The rich woman stays in a house that is so big and the driver was driving her all the time. So both of them die. They went out to heaven. And the angel said to the rich woman, let me show you your mansion. Huh? So small. Who is that? Hey, that fellow is very familiar. He's my driver. And his mansion is so big. And he asked the angel, why is my driver mansion bigger than mine? So the angel said this, because when your driver was on earth, he was sending building material up to heaven. While you were on earth, you never did. Look, the only place to be generous is where? Here. That's why it's a constant reminder that we are just passing by. We are just passing by. You know? And so finally in verse 18, this is what David prayed. Oh God, the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this generous spirit alive forever. He could say, keep this generous spirit alive forever, because generosity can easily be killed. Oh, I'm generous. Hey, look at somebody. He's not so generous. Maybe I should also. Can you realize it? Oh, I'm generous, but I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I helped someone. What I can get out of it? So, generosity can easily be killed. But here, his prayer was this, God, keep generosity alive forever in these people, always. Keep their heart set fixedly in you. Because God, whatever I do in generosity, I'm doing as to who? As unto God. So God, keep this generosity spirit alive. I guard my heart. And when I'm generous, I'm fixing my eyes on who? On you, God. Today, Lord, keep this generosity spirit alive. Generosity reflects the heart of God. It's a heart issue. It's about stewardship. I pray in 2020, find new way to keep the spirit of generosity. And be a generous soul. It's good for your health. You'll find that your heart will not be so tight. You'll breathe easier. Because generosity prepares you for your next destination. Come, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Today is our first installment on our grace value. I spoke on why be generous. God is generous. He's always been generous to you. So He said, in a way, I'm generous to you. Reflect generosity. Each time you are generous to others, kind words, kind deeds, you are reflecting my heart. Each time when you are generous in giving to the needs of others, you are reflecting my heart because I'm generous. I give you my son. Generosity is a heart issue. If your heart is hurt and disappointed and been let down, it's hard to be generous. May you ask God to heal your heart so that He will take away the pain, the disappointment. Like Phoebe said, how can we find new things in our pain? Yes. How can we find new things in our disappointment? Because it's a heart issue. You guard your heart and let nothing say or done kill the joy of your heart, the generosity of your heart, the faith of your heart. It's a heart issue. God sees the heart. He examines the heart and He tests the heart. He knows our intents and motive. No one escaped Him. It's about stewardship. Recognizing it's not mine. It belongs to God. I'm just entrusted by Him for this period of time when I'm on earth. One day, for life is like a shadow. When life is past, I want to know that I have been a good steward. That He will say to me, "Welcome, thou good and faithful steward." I share with you the why of generosity from David's life. I encourage you from today, be a generous soul. Proverbs say that the generous soul waters others just as he is watered. When you are generous, it begets generosity in others. This morning, who will stand up where you are and say to God, "God, keep generosity alive in my heart"? Who will stand up and say to God, "Keep generosity alive in my heart as I fix my eyes on you"? Maybe to some, it's not keep generosity. It is God, stir generosity in my heart that I may be generous as my Father in heaven is generous. who this morning will stand where you are, lift your hand to God and say, God, keep generosity alive. This is what you want God to do for you. Where you are right now, stand where you are and say, lift your hand to Him. Say, God, generosity is an open heart and open hand. I open myself to you and ask God that you would do that work in me. Stand up and put your hand at your heart. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, let the anointing of your Spirit begin to generate, touch, inspire, empower, and release your generosity into our heart. So that generosity is alive and is a well, and Lord, we are able, Lord, to exercise and practice generosity, O God. For Lord, is the spirit of generosity, is your spirit operating in us, O God. And so, Lord, we ask, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, God, that you just stir each of our hearts to generosity. I pray, Lord, release generosity as you release substance and material and blessing into the hands of your children, God. For Lord, they recognize that everything they are, everything they have, comes from you. You are the giver of all good things. And today, God, they stand before you and say, I want to be a wise steward. I want to be a faithful steward. I want to be a good steward with what you have entrusted in my hand. I will not waste it or spend it, but I will invest it wisely. I pray, Father, for your Spirit to work. I pray, Father, for an open heaven over the life of your people, whether it's at home, in the school, in the university, or in the workplace, God, that they will experience your generosity. Favor will come upon them. Opportunity will come upon them. New things will come upon them, oh God. And Lord, they are able to say, I live my life for the glory of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.